And it's amazing. How can I say it? A lot of my education over the years has been getting with people and learning about people. All right, I'm going to give an example. Okay, Heidi, I'm going to tell you about how I've been educated by Heidi Newman. Okay, I was never a race fan until I moved to Martinsville. Okay, never a race fan. And I didn't know that our church was going to be like right down the road from a major NASCAR racetrack. And I never knew that, I mean, it was significant. It was, I mean, so I started learning about racing and I learned a lot of things. But I, whatever I thought I knew about racing, just sit with Heidi and Lester during a race and just listen to them. You will learn stuff about racing you never thought, and you'll learn stuff about Heidi you never thought was possible. Okay? It's the truth. I mean, I never knew half this stuff. And I'm going, wow, this is a sight of Heidi that I was like, dude, I'm glad I'm not in the car with her racing because I'd be cracked up against the wall, smashed. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, being in Martinsville long enough to know about racing, you realize that just being the fastest car doesn't make you win the race. Right? I learned that from Heidi. Okay, praise God. So get where people are at. All right, next. All right, let's go on to 1 Timothy 3, and we're going to go on to verse 6. He should not be a recent convert. These guys are not newly saved. He may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, live long enough as a Christian to realize that you ain't got it all together. You really need God just as much as when you first got saved. Amen. Thank you. He must be, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into the trap of the devil. And that means that your life is just real. You are real and people see you in the community and they respect you. And you don't try. It just happens that way because you're just genuine. Deacons also must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. And but the thing I wanted to talk about is this whole concept from verse 7 all the way through to verse 13. It says that you need to be real. And you need to be who you are so that when people see you, in verse 13 it says, he says, for those who are good as deacons gain a good standing. So you've got this sense of a good standing. All right, everybody say good standing. That means people, you have a good reputation because people see that it's not just all talk, that you're not saying one thing and that you're doing another. And I know these guys have a really good reputation in the community. I love it when, I mean, I'm going to talk about Josh, he's not here. But of course, you know, teachers get mostly reactions to who they are. But when every time a kid that knows Mr. Kendall and he walks into the room and they see him, you can see them light up and smile. Mr. Kendall, yay. Why? It's just who he is. And I think it's the subject that he teaches too. But he's in good standing in the community. All right, let's go on to verse, the next one, good food. We're on number 6. Okay. We're going to be going into chapter 4 now. It says, the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith and devote themselves to deceitful spirits. And notice that that religion and deceptively religious people forbid things like marriage. Isn't that interesting? Marriage. They don't want women to get married. They don't want men to get married. And you can tell when you've got a false teacher because they don't promote marriage and family. And but look at the second one. Abstinence, not just sexual abstinence, not sexual abstinence, but marriage abstinence. They're okay for sex. Have sex as much as you want, but don't get married, right? And then the other thing is eating foods. They get obsessing over foods. And you see that in religions. It's everywhere. It's all over the world that you see people make religion and eating something a part of their religion or not eating something a part of their religion. And that's what Paul had to deal with the Jews at first, because his Jewish brothers had very, very strict dietary laws that God had to blow out of Peter's mind. He says, what God has called clean, don't call common. Don't call profane. Don't call it unholy. Yeah, I've called it holy. Don't call it unholy. And I learned early age, especially with my mom, I don't care what she gave me to eat, I would never call anything she cooked unholy, or I'd feel the wrath of God. Are you right? Right? You'd feel the Board of Education on the seat of learning, and you darn well better eat it, even if it's something you didn't care for. Right? Well, that's because of family. Well, it's not a matter of having a conscience and ordering your diet, right, for healthiness. It's an over-obsession. I just want to tell you that some people are so religious about what they eat. We don't ever want that to happen here, ever. Okay? And we know there's a lot of religions that are very religious about what they eat and what they don't eat. So you don't want to use that wrong. So I just want to talk about good food. How do you know there's good food in the kingdom? Glory to God. Okay, let's go on. I've got four more to go. Wow. Number seven. Here we go. Now, let's talk about good training in verse 6, chapter 4. If you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Jesus Christ being trained. Now, look what you're being trained in. Good training means you're getting trained in the words of faith. You see that? Faith and of good teaching. So you've got this focus. Here's the focus. The focus is not training on good religion, right? Making sure that you have all your I's dotted and T's crossed. It's training in faith. And what is our faith in? Jesus. That's where you're trained in. The disciples, when Jesus got with his disciples, he spent his entire ministry with them teaching them how to believe him. They had trouble believing him. The most amazing story, one of the most amazing stories that just blows me away, is that they're in the boat, there's a storm, Jesus comes to them in the storm, and they're scared, thinking it's some kind of demon coming to him. He gets in the boat and he rebukes him. He rebukes him, slaps him, and says, why didn't you believe? Right? So he's testing their faith. Every situation was a testing in faith in Jesus. How much do you believe Jesus for your storm? He says they didn't learn the lesson of the bread. What was the lesson of the bread? You can be hungry in the middle of the desert and Jesus can feed you. What's the lesson of faith in the storm? You can be in the middle of a storm and Jesus will come to you. Don't not see Jesus. Don't think you're seeing something horrible when it's Jesus coming to save you. People don't get it. Then what he's trying to teach them is believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Jesus can handle this. Jesus can handle this situation, that situation. And we are constantly challenged to trust him in whatever situation it is. And our whole life we're going to trust him. It'll never stop. Okay? All right, moving on. Let's go on to number... We've got the good training now. And let me just say this. Just if you talk to people that go to college, he talks about good doctrine and being trained. I think one of the saddest things about college today is that people get degrees in things that are just totally ridiculous. They spend $50,000 in a degree that they never use. It's not real. And musicians have a really hard time, because if you go to school for music, it's really hard, because that's not really why you get hired in music. You know what I'm saying? But you got to have it, you know, and you want to do it and you want to get growing in that. But people have got some weirdest degrees that I could have given you a list and we would have been laughing for the rest of the day. Some of these, and I'm not kidding. They're degrees people really get. And I'm like, why did you get that degree? All right, so let's talk about good deeds. 1 Timothy 5. Let's go down to the next chapter, and we're going to start about verse 9, and it's about the widow. He says, don't let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. A reputation for good works. That's good deeds, not just talk. So this widow, Paul said, hey, how do you know that this widow should get help from the church? It's not just talk. That lady is doing stuff. It's not just talking about it. All right, let's move on. Let's go on here to 1 Timothy 6 now. I've got two more to go. I'm going to get through this. 1 Timothy 6, and this is incredible. This chapter is awesome. So, but we're going to start with verse 11. There's a lot about, there's just a lot of teaching here about dealing with riches and handling your money, but I'm going to skip over this right now. But number 10 and 11, we're going to finish up right here. Excuse me. 9, 10, 11. We got three more to go. All right, verse Timothy 6, we're going to start with verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Here's again, good fight again. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and which about which you made the good confession in the presence of many, bless you, of many witnesses. Everybody say good confession. I think that one of the most important things for having a good deed, I mean, good deeds are essential for leadership. Good training, good food, good standing in a community, good works, good prayer, all that stuff. I think a good confession is really important. And that's What is that? He says it, he talks about the good confession in the context of good fight. So what does that mean? I believe that what Paul's talking to Timothy about leadership is that you're going to be tested in your confession. You're going to be tested in your confession, and there are going to be times when you make that good confession. It may not feel great to you. It may be hard for you to make this good confession. You may have seen some disappointments. You may have seen some difficulties. You may have seen... I just talk to people, and it really saddens me. People who love the Lord, and they're doing really good, and then somebody in the church does something not nice to them, and then they just fall apart like a house of cards. I think that the story of Judas is essential in the gospel. You know why? Because the one who betrayed Jesus was his closest person. And I feel that, I just believe that the Lord really wants his people not to fall apart when they get tested and when things happen and it's really somebody who's close to them, but to make the good confession. Jesus, I love you. I'm upset. See? I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. But Lord, I still love you in spite of all of this. I think this is really important for every believer. I've seen too many people, can I say this? They get so disappointed and they blame the church, and then they leave their faith, and then they just live like a big time sinner. And you kind of wonder if it's an excuse. You know, blame shifting. Well, I'm really not running around with women because I've got a problem with it. Oh, is that what that church did to me? You see what I'm saying? Or I'm really just mean and ornery all the time and just being ugly because of what that church did to me. And we cannot let any excuse stop us from our confession, no matter what comes our way. And I feel like I've been blessed my whole life. And I'm just not going to be going around being a griper. Because I could sit here. How many of you could sit there with somebody right now and just complain about everything for 5 hours, 6 hours straight and not run out of things to say? Come on. Yeah, I'm serious. It's amazing. And all of us can, but we don't do it. Why? You want to sometimes. You go out in the woods and talk like that, talk to the trees. You know? But we just need that, okay? So we need a good confession to fight a good fight, because you're going to be hit sometimes and it won't be good. But God, God took care of me. I just will never forget how God took care of me when people were being really mean to me. And the Lord said, don't you worry, I'll fight your battles. That was one of the best promises I ever had. And it came in the form of a dream to somebody. A guy named George Sheldon. Never forget it. It helped me so much. I just realized that if I wouldn't get all uptight about stuff and just let the Lord deal with it, He would take care of me. Amen. I just want to be real with you guys. Is that okay? All right, 1 Timothy 6:18. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. So number 10 is richness and good works, even if you've got money. If you've got money and money is not an issue for you in the sense of asking and believing God for things you don't have, if that's not an issue with you, praise God. We love you. Amen. That's good. But don't put your hope in that, okay? Let your richness be in the good works that you do. Amen. Don't put your faith in things that that don't really last in eternity. And then last but not least, in 1 Timothy 6:19, got all these goods in there. 19, it says, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. A good foundation. Do you want me to read all the goods again really before I go? All right, let me do that and then make sure. I know some of you aren't. All right, here they are. All right, the good law. In other words, handling the law good. Doing a good job with the law, that's number one. Fight the good fight with a good conscience, number two. Number three, prayer for everyone is good prayer. So pray good prayer. In other words, don't just pray for people you like. Okay. Number four, do the good work of an overseer. That means get where people are. Don't just be on your little ivory tower. Get down and get dirty, so to speak. Number five, good standing in the community. Have good standing in the community. That means people see you, who you really are. You're not just putting on a show. And people learn real quick if you're just playing games. Good food, all right? Good food. Aren't you glad good food's on this list? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Don't get religious about food, okay? Okay, and then good training in the words of faith. Good training in words of faith. Let your training be good because it's about faith and faith in Christ Jesus, not faith in whatever. Good training. Number eight, good deeds, not just talk. That was the widow that did all these good deeds. And then last, number nine, fight the good fight with a good confession. Have a good confession. Even when you're in the midst of a battle. And number 10, be rich in good works. There's good works, plural. Okay? And that's 1 Timothy 6:18. And then last but not least, having a good foundation for the future. Good foundation for the future. That is amazing. Good foundation for the future. I really do believe this, guys. And you're not all here for me to tell all of you, but I'm going to tell you on the camera what. I believe these couples that we're going to ordain are a good foundation for the future. I really do. Good foundation. Yep, good folks. Good foundation for the future. And I believe, I'm just so blessed over these years of seeing them growing up here. I've been here long enough to see them all, just about, when they were little. Except I didn't see Elizabeth until about 10 years ago, something like that. And of course, Samantha is relatively new on the scene compared to knowing David. And then same thing with Josh. So Kenny's been here since, how old you were? 2004. That's 20 years. Having to put up with us. He's still here, praise God. Amen. It is the Lord. Yeah. So let's pray right now. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the good work that you've been doing here at this church and the good things that you're doing. Father, thank you for keeping us out of just weird doctrines. And Lord, thank you for keeping us real. Thank you, Lord God, for the good works that have been done here. Thank you, Lord God, Lord, for the good foundation that's been here. Lord, that has kept this church standing in the storm. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that the storms of life kept us. Your hand has kept us. Father, we thank you for the future. We thank you for the generations, plural, to come, that are going to come and grow and just be built here. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your heart and your mind and your purpose. And Lord, we just say, Jesus, you are Lord. And we put our faith in you and who you are. And Lord, we thank you that we can just put all of our faith in you, Jesus. We don't have a back door or a plan B. You're the plan J, Jesus. In everything. And Lord, we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name.